Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Bring in Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville for our Monday morning chat. Jimmy, what's going on this morning?
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing fine. I guess, first of all, let's go back to Saturday and the Tennessee-Kentucky game in the SEC tournament. That was, Jimmy, I thought one of the best SEC tournament games I've seen. It's certainly the best I've seen in person. It looked like they were done with about 3 minutes left, down by eight, and Grant Williams got rolling and a couple of huge threes later, and Tennessee wins the game. It was a great atmosphere and an awesome game, and I thought it was just a kind of a signature moment in this season for Tennessee.
Well, I thought it was a great game, too. It was a big win for Tennessee, and Tennessee has rarely beaten Kentucky in twice in a season. I was just looking this up. They did it this year. They did it last year. Then you got to go back to 1979 to find the last time Tennessee had beaten Kentucky twice in a season. The other thing that was interesting about it, that's only the second time Tennessee's beaten Kentucky in the SEC tournament since 1979. Now, they haven't played a lot, but still, I thought that was interesting. But being down by eight with less than 3 minutes left, to have three-point shots hit by one, Admiral Schofield, then Grant Williams and Lamonte Turner toward the end, that was huge for Tennessee. Now, I did have some people that said, hey, that's the biggest win for Tennessee since they won the national championship in football. Let's put the brakes on a little bit. There wasn't any kind of title on the line. You didn't win the SEC tournament. It wasn't an NCAA tournament game. It wasn't a Final Four game, so I thought that was exaggerated. But I thought it was a big win for Tennessee. And they played really well down the stretch, which I thought would give them confidence going into the next game, but I was wrong about that.
Yeah, they looked like they were out of gas and just out of sorts yesterday. They threw it all over the place, and then Auburn got on a roll and hit everything they threw up there from three, and you get a 20-point loss is what the result is. How did you sort of look at that, especially off of Saturday?
Well, I was a little bit surprised. The team that was supposed to be out of gas is Auburn, because they had to play an extra game, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yep.
Tennessee had a one-game rest. I just think all that's overrated. I hear that all the time about, well, you don't want to play the NCAA tournament till Friday. It gives you an extra day of rest. And the time I saw Georgia win the SEC tournament by having to win two games in one day, and I saw Connecticut win five games in 5 days to win the Big East, and they won the national championship. Syracuse won five in 5 days to win the Big East. I just think that's a bit overrated, that stuff about having an extra day of rest. And I think Auburn just kind of proved that. But that Auburn started – and the thing is, Auburn led at halftime and really hadn't shot well in three-point range. They were 5 out of 20. And at halftime, I told my wife I was watching. I said, I think this thing's over. She said, what are you talking about? I said, Auburn's going to shoot better in the second half, and they got a big lead anyway without Jared Harper. So it was kind of disappointing, I thought, to see Tennessee play one of its worst games of the year in the SEC tournament. But I guess the reality of it is it doesn't really matter. Now's what matters. Now you're one and done, and now what you do in the NCAA tournament is what will probably come closer to defining your season. I'm one of these that thinks the regular season does mean a little something because it helps you with your seeding, and there's the journey along the way. But it was certainly disappointing to see Tennessee lose to Auburn. We'll see if that will give them a little bit extra motivation going forward.
Jimmy, on to the NCAA tournament. The open with Colgate on Friday. You were talking about things that were overrated. I think the fears of playing Cincinnati and Columbus might be a little bit overrated. Cincinnati has to beat Iowa first. What did you think of their draw? And to me, it looks like a pretty good one that they could serve them well as they try to get deep in this thing.
I like it. I like it a lot. And yes, I know there is a potential to play Cincinnati and Columbus. You will have quite a few Tennessee fans there. Obviously, you would have more Cincinnati fans. I get that. But Iowa could win the game. You're right about that. Colgate should not be much of a challenge. I don't see any metrics that lead me to think Colgate's going to be a tough team for Tennessee unless Tennessee shoots 25% from the field. And then going beyond that, I think the bracket looks pretty good for them. I thought going in, if they had if they were in a bracket where the number one seed was Virginia, I thought that was their best avenue, and that's what they got. So, and not that Virginia's going to be easy. I think Virginia's a really good team. But I thought the others would be more difficult matchups for Tennessee. So I like where Tennessee is. I like their bracket. And I'm interested to see if they can finally get to the Final Four. This program's never been there. We'll see if they can do it this time.
Jimmy, how good was Saturday, especially for Lamonte Turner, who had not been shooting it very well, to hit that clutch three, and it just seemed to be a real boon to his confidence.
Well, it was, and it carried over to Auburn. It's one of the few things it carried over.
Yeah.
But I did think that would give him confidence, and he was like 1 out of 19 from 3-point range his previous 5 games, and truth is, he'd been in about a 10-game shooting slump from 3-point range. He hadn't really played very well. He was like 8 out of 52 on threes in his 10 previous games. And I didn't think he was doing other things well. I thought he was making some, he was forcing some things. I didn't think his defense was all that good. I'm not a big fan of all this guard him 40 feet away from the basket and then you foul him or they drive by you. And that was happening. Now he did get one steal. That was the key. That did help them. But I thought when he hit that three that might carry over again. I think he can carry over into the NCAA tournament. That was a big moment. Interesting that Schofield passed up a potential shot to give it to Turner, and Turner nailed it. So that I thought that was a big moment for him, and certainly a big win for Tennessee to beat Kentucky. But I going back to the people talking about that's one of the greatest wins in program history. I'm not in that camp.
But one thing that happened in that game that really helped fuel that late comeback, Jimmy, was, and this is why I love Rick Barnes, he switches to a variation of the of a 2-3 zone, something that Jordan Bone said they haven't used since he was a freshman, and Kentucky only got 1 point out of all their possessions against that zone. And that, of course, on the other side, Tennessee, started hitting shots and came back to win the game.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really good move by Barnes. And I thought he felt like he had to make some kind of change. He had to do something to change the momentum. And he's done that a few other times this year where at a certain point in the game, he made a change in the defense. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize the defense, that zone was that much different from what they had played earlier. So I didn't pick up on that, but I did think the zone was effective for him. And a lot of times when you're playing man-to-man for 40-something or 30-something minutes, and then you switch off to zone, it can make the other team hesitate a little bit. And I thought that happened with Kentucky, and I thought it was a really good move by Tennessee to do that, by Rick Barnes to do that. And so I think that was, as you bring up, I think that was another key for Tennessee to get that thing turned around and get the victory.
Jimmy, foul trouble is one thing, but you always hear from coaches that, you know, when asked about depth and how important it is for the NCAA tournament, and they will tell you, you can go with a shorter bench during NCAA tournament games because the timeouts, the TV timeouts are longer. And guys seem to get extra rest.
Well, yeah, I think that is something that could help Tennessee because Tennessee does not have a lot of depth. They don't have a great bench. We've talked about this on this show several times about how I think the only guy coming off the bench you can count on every game pretty much is Jordan Bowden. Now, they've been getting some pretty good minutes from Fulkerson. He's picked that up. But you hadn't been getting it from Walker. You hadn't been getting it from Pond. So look at the stat on Pond. Over a 14-game stretch, he had like 13 points and 12 rebounds over 14 games. That's not very good. So, yeah, I do think that the lack of the depth for Tennessee could help them at postseason play. And typically there's a little bit more intensity during the course of these games as well. So I do think that can help Tennessee a little bit. And we'll see if they're able to take advantage of that. But they do need to be careful about getting in foul trouble with some of their key players, which in you know, pretty much every their starters have become a key player right now.
Jimmy Himes, our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. And more of Jimmy coming up in just a moment. Ask a few about spring football as well. 6:43 the time here on 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone. Time is 6:49 here in the Wake Up Zone in our Monday morning chat with our friend Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, switching to spring football, I guess the first question is, the quarterbacks, and chiefly, how has Jarrett Garantano looked so far?
Garantano's looked pretty good from all accounts. We get to see a limited amount, but the reports are good. The other players and the coaches talk about how well, coaches meaning Jeremy Pruitt, talk about how well he has played. We had a chance to interview him early during the start of spring ball. He likes the offense of Jim Chaney. He said he's got more answers. He said he's got more control at the line of scrimmage. And all reports are he's throwing it well. He's been on target. The thing he's got to do to me is to gain, one, to be more consistent. Secondly, to be able to recognize the defense, in particular the blitzes, a little bit better and make sure everybody's in the right pass protection there. So he's been in the system long enough. This is his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years. And he said that he thinks to a certain degree that can be an advantage because he's learned a whole lot more football. Others would think, man, your mind might be spinning when you've got that many different people asking you to do things. But I think Jim Chaney's such a good offensive coordinator. I think this is important to coach. Know what your players know and run that. And don't overwhelm Garantano with things to do. And I think Chaney will do a good job of that.
What about the backup what about the battle for backup quarterback?
Garantano shouldn't get hurt. I've heard that Shroud has been inconsistent with his accuracy, and so has Brian Maurer. So neither one of those have performed that well from what I've heard. So I think the Garantano needs to make sure he stays on his feet. The other two guys just aren't ready. Tennessee would have been a world of hurt. Now, that's at this point. At August the 18th, I may be telling you a little bit different because maybe those quarterbacks will have progressed by that time. But at this point, they got a lot of work to do.
Interesting, they have transferred D'Angelo Gibbs at receiver. He was recruited as a DB, supposedly he's looked pretty decent in terms of being a pass catcher.
Really good athlete. Really good athlete. And I don't remember a whole lot of people recruiting him as a receiver coming out of high school. I remember him being touted as a defensive back, and that's where he played the first 2 years at Georgia, but he didn't get on the field that much, and so that's one reason for the switch. I think another reason for the switch is Tennessee has recruited a lot of good young defensive backs, including Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson and Jalen McCullough, true freshman that they like a lot. So I think because of the athletes and the number of defensive backs they've been able to recruit, I think that's one reason they felt like Gibbs needs to go to the offense, because offensively, I guess they got two receivers that they signed, Means and Ramel Keaton. And beyond that, they don't have that much help. And I don't know that they feel like they're other young receivers that are ready to step up. And I think the depth issue is a big reason Gibbs is starting out a receiver.
Jimmy Himes, our guest from Sports Radio WNML. Jimmy, back to basketball. The women's NCAA tournament field will be announced tonight. What do you think of Tennessee's chances of getting in, and then what happens if they don't get in?
Charlie Cream, the bracketologist on the women's side, has Tennessee as last four in. And I've talked to other people that are pretty well schooled on this. They all think Tennessee barely gets in. Tennessee did have a couple of good wins. They had more bad losses, but they did have some good wins. Their RPI wasn't very good. When they finished the season, the RPI was at 63. And we all know you don't take the 64 best teams. There are teams that get in as automatic qualifiers whose RPIs are well above 60. But there's also the thought that the women's committee will be different from the men's, and that you need more good draws on the women's side than the men's side, because the women don't draw very well in the NCAA tournament, and that's going to be a factor for Tennessee. I don't think it should, but people think that it will. So I think Tennessee is going to get a bid, and then I think that depending on the matchup, I can't see them advancing past the Sweet 16. This team's been too inconsistent for that. If they don't get in, you ask that question, I would be surprised if Holly Warlick is the coach next year.
What about it if they do and say they go out pretty early? How shaky ground is it for her?
Very, very. Here's the thing, too. In watching her, she didn't enjoy this season. Going into the year, she talked about how tight-knit group this was. But as the season went on, you could hear and see the frustration. And I just think that she might say, okay, 7 years is enough. This program isn't where I want it to be. There's been a pretty steady decline since she's been the head coach. And I think she might just say, okay, that's enough. I don't need all this stress. I don't need all this these complaints and the frustration of not getting my point across to my players. So I think there could be a pretty decent chance he might sit down, even if they make the NCAA tournament.
Jimmy, you know Philip Fulmer pretty well and covered him through his years. I've never heard him. I would never hear him say or have heard him say the stuff that Holly has said about her players. And that is essentially, through the media, sort of complaining about how hard it is to coach this bunch. And when you say stuff like that, in my opinion, you're almost begging to be fired.
Well, I don't know if I'd say begging to be fired. I sense that, Mark, is the frustration of trying to be a coach of these players. He has mentioned in the past that players nowadays have a sense of entitlement, and players nowadays don't listen as much, and players nowadays are influenced by social media, and she has constantly talked about how the team hasn't played that hard. That kind of frustration to me in dealing with these players gives me reason to think she's about had it, and that she would step down. Rather, I actually don't think Fulmer would fire her. Now, that can be a matter of semantics too. Okay, if you resign, I won't fire you. But if you don't resign, I'm going to fire you. It may be one of those conversations. And somebody said, well, Fulmer is going to give a VFL and somebody who's coached a little bit longer rope. Well, I think he might have done that last year when he gave his contract extension.
Yes.
Again, that contract extension is such that they've mitigated it to where the buyout is not 100% of the total amount of money that would be left on the contract, which is two more years. So they kind of covered themselves from that perspective. But I think those things you're talking about, I think that's the frustration she has felt. And it isn't just this year. I saw it last year, too, and I saw it the year before. And that's why I think there's a pretty decent chance you might say, okay, I've had enough.
He's always well connected in everything related to Tennessee. Jimmy Himes, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you Friday.
Okay, guys. Thank you.